You're listening to Rosie on the House.
Gobble, 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 gobble.
Hey, there's our pardon token turkeys for the year, and it's their responsibility to make sure next Thanksgiving we can accept the challenge. Smart and Final was running a commercial leading up to Thanksgiving that I thought was hilarious, talking about how the average person will eat 4,500 calories. And
how can that be?
You know, I think I understand it. If you start at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Thanksgiving Day,
or 10 o'clock in the morning,
you know, you don't think of day from dawn till dusk. Mm-hmm. Think of that 24-hour span into the next day when you're enjoying the leftovers and you're cleaning up, and that time frame. I think you have to look at it in eating time. So over that course of the main course and the snacks and the leftovers, well, you know me, Greg. I'm above average guy. I think I might have gotten close to five. Maybe even over. Need you today, man. Let's get out in the garden. We've got Farmer Greg here. Let's get urban farming. I got a lot to burn off today.
Nice.
8 o'clock, the outdoor living hour. It is the fourth Saturday of the month, so we have Farmer Greg in here following up to our Thanksgiving, talking winter gardening. Yeah. And we've got a lot of great things to talk about.
One of the cool things in the low desert, I stopped you. Where did you want to go?
No, go ahead. We've got just how many different things we can talk about, because this broadcast covers the state.
Right.
And we're talking zones, and we're going to cover a lot of different zones and elevations.
Yeah. Yeah, and one of the cool things about the low desert is that the best time to grow is October to June.
Right in the middle of it.
Right. And then our winter is really a summer, because, you know, trying to grow in July, August, and September is pretty brutal on us, and it's pretty brutal on the plants. So I usually let my gardens sit in the summertime, and then we get them planted in September, October, November for crops all the way through into June. So that's really the cool thing about growing in the low desert.
And in the low desert, you mentioned we're right in the middle of that growing season. Is mm-hmm. it too late to plant anything, or do we need to be looking for starter plants already at nurseries?
Well, if you can find starter plants, that's a really good way to go. Planting from seeds is kind of tentative. It'll be interesting. About 10 days ago, we planted one of our gardens out from seeds. They haven't come up yet, so we'll see what happens. It was, you know, as we were doing it, I was thinking, yeah, maybe a little bit late for seeds. But here's the cool thing. The really cool thing is that nature knows when to pop these seeds. We don't have to know it. If it's the wrong season right now, they'll come up when it's the right season. So for carrots, we planted carrots. If the carrots don't sprout now, they'll stay dormant until the soil warms up in February, and then they'll sprout.
And they don't go bad? They just
not
sit
generally
there?
I have a lot of interesting systems set up. I was just writing an article about this the other day.
See, I don't understand how vegetable seeds are so hard, but weed seeds, you don't have to do anything. And they just... Yeah. They're everywhere.
Well, but here's the interesting thing I was going to say. I was writing an article the other day about my food forest around my house, and one of the things that I do with the urban farm is I plant open pollinated seeds. It's a particular kind of seed. They're not hybrids. They're called open pollinated or heirloom seeds. And the cool thing about them is you plant them, and when they go to seed, they produce the same quality, that's what I want to say, they produce the same quality of fruit or vegetable as the original seed when they go to seed. So a lot of what goes on at the urban farm is the seeds self-plant, and then they stick around until it's time for them to sprout. So at any given month at the urban farm, we've got lettuce, nasturtiums, garlic, onions, cowpeas, parsley, basil, that is just coming back year after year after year. That's really the cool thing. So one of the big things that I do to combat winter growing is I just let nature happen in my yard, and then I plant things that's season appropriate. And I was recently at a big box store, I won't name it, but I was recently at a big box store doing a mental inventory of all the edible plants that they had for sale there. And over 50% of the plants that they had for sale were not season appropriate, which means they were the wrong season, like a
melon.
A melon in this time of year, exactly. Or they weren't climate appropriate, like for the fruit trees.
Cherries.
Right, exactly. So you have to really spend some time and energy paying attention and doing a little bit of research to make sure that you know what to plant when. Once you get that down, it's actually pretty simple to garden here. That's one of the big hurdles to gardening in the desert, is knowing what to plant when and making sure that you plant the right things.
And where? What zone are you in?
Yeah, exactly.
Arizona, we have... let's just talk about the zoning system at first. The Department of Agriculture has 10 different zones of climate.
Probably.
Okay.
I'm looking at the map right now. Let's see what it says. In Arizona, we go from 6A to 10A, from 6 to 10. I think there's 10 in this one.
Okay.
You know, I've lived in Phoenix for 51 years, and I've gardened in Phoenix since for most of that time. And, you know, I don't much pay attention to the hardiness zone map, although it's a really great tool, because I got that part of it down for myself.
But somebody in Tucson, there's a little, where you get south of Tucson and the zones start to change.
Yep.
You get up towards Camp Verde, the zones start to change.
So. Sedona, Flagstaff, exactly. Exactly. And this will tell you, the document is called Arizona Climate Zones and Their Application to Growing. It is a document called AZ-1673 from the Cooperative Extension, U of A Cooperative Extension.
And pretty recent. I'm looking at the document date on the bottom, and this has definitely been updated.
2014, it looks like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, which is nice. So, you know, one of the things that is good to know from a macro perspective for your area is what zone are you in, so you can kind of get a sense of what to plant.
And then this document goes through a great, and we'll put this at rosieonthehouse.com. If you click on today's podcast, the link will be right there. This is segment one of the 8 o'clock hour. We'll have the link there. When you open it and you're scrolling, it's 6 pages. The first part's pretty easy.
Yeah.
What city are you in? You pick your city, and then it'll tell you your USDA hardiness zone, temperature variance, the sunset climate zone, and it describes all these things. Once you pick your zone, you can then scroll down, and they've got trees listed. I would say this is my one critique. They've got it listed alphabetically, but they're all in the Latin name.
Oh, my gosh.
So if you're looking for Texas ebony, you got to go to the common name and just scroll through this huge list and randomly find it. If this was like an Excel insert and you could sort it, I think most people – can search the common name, but whatever.
Hey,
it doesn't take that long to find.
One of the things I like on here is the edible fig, zone 8 through 11.
And zone 8 through 11 back on our table covers, I'm going to say...
Wilcox to Yuma.
That's easily 70% of the state, and it goes all the way up to Kingman.
Yeah, and I suspect you could probably grow them in Prescott and... as well.
Being deciduous, you know, there'd probably be a few years you got cold snaps late in the late in the spring or early in the fall that would shorten your produce, but year over year, probably pretty decent.
Yeah, exactly. So this is a great document to get your hands on. The next thing you want to do, are we complete with this part of the document, or did you want to dig into it?
You know, I could geek out on it longer, but we can move on. We'll let the people in their own zone geek out over their own local plants and trees and shrubs.
There you go. So the next thing you want to do is get a planting calendar. Find out what to plant when, because you can't count on the big box stores and the local nurseries to always have your back on that. You know, as I mentioned earlier, the big box store that had melons in the fall and broccoli in February, March For Phoenix, that's not going to work.
And there's only so much that a lot of the big seed manufacturers, you've got Baker Seed Company, mm-hmm. you've got Monsanto. There's only so many regions they break up their distribution in. They don't have a region for Flagstaff and a region for Phoenix. They've right. got Southwest, which is Arizona, New Mexico, Southern yeah, exactly. California.
Exactly. Well, and I, you know, you mentioned Monsanto. Monsanto actually doesn't sell home garden seeds. So, which, you know, from the conversation around genetically modified and not genetically modified.
That's true. They're mainly the big cotton
yeah,
and ag.
Yeah, exactly. They're the big ag business. So, you know, they get to keep that one. Baker Creek is a great one. There are hundreds of small seed companies out there that are doing great seed work. You know, so finding a seed company is definitely something you want to do. And then, as I mentioned, get a planting calendar. And the Cooperative Extension also has planting calendars for your county. So if you, you know, if you do, if you're in Pima County, type in Pima County and Cooperative Extension calendar, and that'll come up. Or the Low Desert, which is really anything from, you know, from Phoenix South, you can go to plantingcalendar.org, which is my planting calendar that I give away free. You can download it, and then you get notices about all the cool things that we do here at the Urban Farm.
And we try and make this apply to the entire state, but mm-hmm. this time of the year where we've got so many different extremes, it just the garden hour can't apply to every part of the state all the time. We talk urban farming the fourth Saturday of every month and rotate through topics, and we'll take a quick break here and come back and continue on our fruit tree talking chill hours and rootstocks and ripening times. And outside of that, we can grow fruit almost year round, and that's what we're talking about here with Farmer Greg at Rosie on the House.